The first lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm will be read responsively. It's Psalm 27, verses 1 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?
When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh,
it was they, my foes and my adversaries, who stumbled and fell.
Though an army should encamp against me,
yet my heart shall not be afraid.
And though war should rise up against me,
yet will I put my trust in him.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
to behold the fair beauty of the Lord,
and to seek him in his temple.
For in the day of trouble, he shall keep me safe in his shelter.
He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling and set me high upon a rock.
Even now he lifts up my head
above my enemies around about me.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness.
I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hearken to my voice, O Lord, when I call.
Have mercy on me and answer me.
You speak in my heart and say, seek my face.
Your face, Lord, will I seek.
Hide not your face from me,
nor turn away your servant in displeasure.
You have been my helper. Cast me not away.
Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
Though my father and my mother forsake me,
the Lord will sustain me.
The second reading this evening is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and he lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun in the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. In the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So my manuscript is, I always put a PowerPoint presentation together for my sermon. So if you see me flipping through it, so I'm flipping through my PowerPoint. But grace and peace be with each of you from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish." How many of you have gone fishing? Okay, for those of you that didn't raise your hand, there's 10,000 lakes. Come on. How many of you would like to go fishing right now and just skip out on this service? Yeah, right there, way in the back. Right? So Jesus, when he was calling his disciples, I'm not quite exactly sure how they took his message. Hey, leave your nets, stop fishing with your dad, and fish with me. But we're going to do a different kind of fishing. We're going to be fishing for people. Follow me and I will make you fish. I think everyone I've talked to over the years, they've all heard that line before. You don't really have to be religious, right? You've probably heard it in conversations. You know, it's when we come to our text today, this is a difference from the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, when it talked about the kingdom of God in the Old Testament was about the Jewish people, right? It was calling those chosen few. And so when we get in our gospel text tonight, the New Testament, Jesus is saying, you're going to be fishing for the kingdom of God, but not just for those chosen, but for everyone. When Jesus gazed at those two brothers, the sons of Zebedee, as they were throwing their nets into the water, there was something that sparked Jesus' interest in this whole topic of fishing. And he associated it with Christian discipleship. I believe that Jesus, when he saw that image, he goes, "We can preach this. And this is going to be a good example of how we pass on what we're supposed to do as Christians throughout generations." When I was in seminary, I had a real good friend of mine. He grew up in the South, and he was a devout Baptist until one day he happened to go to a Lutheran church in South Carolina, and he actually heard the good news, the gospel. And he decided it changed his life. He came to seminary. So he was the Old Testament guy. And he looked at me as being the New Testament guy because I was from Minnesota, 10,000 lakes and fishing, right? So it's interesting, as we, him and I argued, because he had a lot of law in him and I had a lot of gospel, and I said, you know, we really do match up, because Lutherans are about law and gospel. And so I tell you what, I'm taking you fishing, because I've never fished. So we went and we were fishing, and I was casting, and I wasn't catching a darn thing. And he's going like, oh, not catching anything, huh? How's that New Testament treating you there, Pastor Hedman? And I said, not very good, but I was persistent. I endured, and I finally caught one after a long time. Endurance. That is one of the lessons of fishing that I think Jesus wants us to understand. If you want to be his disciple, you've got to endure. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to endure. Ernest Hemingway, he was a great fisherman. I don't know if you knew that, but he was also a profound writer. He loved fishing and he loved writing. And one of the things that people said about him, the reason he was such a great writer is because he was a great fisherman. And in one of his books, one of the things that he said is you have to endure. You have to endure. You got to work through it. You can't give up. You're gonna write lots of manuscripts, right? And you're going to toss out a bunch. And then finally, it's going to come together. It's kind of like fishing, right? You got to keep casting until finally you've endured long enough and you've caught something. Yes, fishing remains one of the great icons of what it means to be a follower of Jesus in regards to the kingdom of God. And one of the things that kind of disturbs me in our modern world is I don't think people fish like they used to, right? I mean, we don't make a living off of fishing here in Minnesota, right? And I don't think people really get out in the wild like they used to. When I was a kid, we used to fish all the time. And so I don't think they necessarily understand the story of casting your net. Or I'm worried about we don't have any sheep herders, right? We have a few farmers, but they don't have sheep like probably 50, 80 years ago, right? And so when we tell them stories like, well, there was 100 sheep and one left, they're thinking in their mind, well, why would you go after the one left? You see, being a follower of Jesus, everyone is important, and you will leave the 99 and find the one lost. That's the kingdom of God. Or I think of planting seeds, right? As Christians, we're supposed to be planting seeds here, there, and everywhere, right? Not necessarily caring what kind of soil it goes on to, right? Because we do the spreading and God does the growing, right? But when one starts to grow, we want to nurture that. I don't see a lot of our people farming like they used to. Or I think of people drawing water from a well. We don't do that anymore, right? Not like they used to. So I don't think they understand the whole concept of what it means to draw the living water, such as the waters of baptism, in what God has done for you and will do for you throughout your life. But you see, I think this image of fishing is still extremely relevant in our world today. There was a gentleman by the name of Isaac Walton, and he wrote all kinds of books, and one of the things that he wrote, actually he wrote a lot of biographies about famous theologians. Some of those people are John Donne, George Herbert, Richard Hooker, and again, I'm glad he wrote, because we probably wouldn't understand who those people were and the influence they had on the Christian faith. But he ended up writing a book that was separate, all by himself, and it was entitled The Complete Angler. The Complete Angler. I thought, oh man, that's a really interesting book. And if you take the word angler, there's a word in there called angle, right? And his point is, as an example, Lutheranism is a style of Christianity that has a different angle than other faith groups have in our world today. You see, and I think that's one of the things that fishing teaches us. You got to be out there angling. You got to take different angles. Being a Christian is about taking a particular angle towards life, right? So why are you Christian? Why are you Lutheran? And I think one of the greatest gifts that the Lutheran Church gives is the angle of grace. Grace. You see, each and every one of us, we all have different perspectives on how the world should run, right? We look at the world, we have different views. But Jesus really wants us to all come together and have the angle of grace as our focus. And I tell you, our world really needs that angle of grace today. Grace, as I learned it, I'm not a very smart guy, so that's why I like the Army, because they give you acronyms. GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. You've probably heard that over the years. But how true it is, right? I don't deserve God's love and grace and mercy, but that God is all love and grace, and he gives it to me. And I think that's why, you know, the number one scripture that everybody knows is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but may have eternal life. That is grace. Amazing grace. I think of Martin Luther, right? When he was studying the scripture, and he wanted to make sure that how he was saved and how others were saved. He said, we are justified by grace through faith. I think those are the angles we need to look at. And I think one of the places that we need to look at grace is like in scripture, right? When you and I look at the Bible and we read God's words, God is speaking right to us. If you want a connection with God, if you want to have an experience with God, open up your Bibles. Or I think of our sacraments, baptism and communion. These things are given and shed for you, for you. It's not a memorial. It's not turned into. It is. That is grace. Or I think of the call to discipleship. If we really truly follow Jesus, we will change the world according to the kingdom of God through Christ. And I think of the power of prayer. You know, our relationship with God, but most importantly, our relationship with other people. I think we have to have those angles of grace. Fishing also teaches us about discipline. Jesus says, follow me and I will teach you to fish for people. You see, fishing takes practice and persistence and discipline. It takes practice to learn how to throw the nets. You know, when I analyze how they fished in the old days, they had those nets, right? They would throw it, right? Left side of the boat, right side of the boat, front side, back side. And then Jesus would say, all right, caught any fish lately? Well, we've been fishing all night, Jesus. Put your net over here. Right? And what happened? They caught fish. Yes, it takes following Christ and letting him teach us to fish. You know, some of the best fishing that I've ever seen, it involves a lot of people. Have you seen those really huge nets? Right? Those really huge nets where they're probably 60 to 100 feet long, and you've got to have, oh, I don't know, probably 10, 20 people. And you got some on this side, some on this side, and then you have some people in the middle. And what they do is they go out into the water, and they kind of got to walk sideways because of the waves, right? They're battling the waves. They call those nets seine nets. And one of the things about those seine nets is when they put those down in the water, they have weights, and when they pull them in, they pull in absolutely everything, right? What's ever there, they got it. I think of the church being that, sending out our nets and catching as many people as you can. Now, a number of years ago, I got an opportunity to go down to Nicaragua, and I went over by there where they were fishing, and I went, oh my gosh, they're fishing like old-time biblical people. And there they were, some on the left, some on the right, some of the guys fighting the waves, and they put down the nets, and I was going like, yes, this is awesome. And as they pulled it in, I was curious, what kind of fish are down there, right? What are they going to capture in that great net? And when they pulled it forward, zero. I was like, zero? And the guy goes, yeah, you see right here? There's a big hole in the net. And all the fish escaped. You see, in other words, they had not properly prepared or maintained their nets. You see, that's discipline, right? We are required to mend our nets, to hang them out to dry, to move them so they don't get wrecked. The other thing that fishing teaches us is patience, right? If you've ever gone fishing, it takes patience. You know, once in a while you get a hole and you catch all kinds of fish, but most of the time you don't. A number of years ago, I was with a friend by the name of Darren. He's a professional fisher guide. And I had another friend, and we contracted with him to go fishing. And he goes, hey, don't worry about anything. Just show up. I will have all the tackle. I'll have all the bait. You guys just fish. I'll bait your hooks. And when you catch a fish, I'll take it off and rebait it. And I'm going like, man, this sounds like a great deal. So we're out in this lake, and there's two of us. We're fishing, right? Casting out. I'm not catching a darn thing. I'm thinking, I paid this guy money, a fisher guide, and I'm not catching a darn thing. And I'm getting frustrated, and he looks at me and he goes, do you mind if I just take your rod and cast it out? I'm thinking, okay. I mean, I grew up fishing. I'm from Minnesota. He cast it out. Wham! Reeled it in. I'm thinking, lucky. Put another lure on. Cast it out. Bam! Another one. I'm going like, how in the world are you doing that? He said, well, there's a secret. What you do is when you put it on, you cast it out. When it hits the water, you count to three. And when you hit three, you pull. Because what happens is the fish get scared when they hear the noise, but then they go up to investigate, and then they bite it. Count of three. Oh, voila, we caught fish. The other thing about fishing is you notice the weather, right? You got to be aware of the wind and the clouds. And fishing kind of teaches us about the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Like the gospel, when we go out fishing, we have to practice in the context of where we're at. You know, oftentimes we think, the grass is greener on the other side, right? We've all heard that phrase. But when you fish, you fish on that day, you fish in that place, you fish in that context, you fish according to the conditions that are. And so it is when we proclaim the good news of the gospel and live our lives in the Christian way. It does little good for us to wish that maybe we were somewhere else, or maybe if it was happening at a different time, or maybe even a different country. No, we fish in our context, in this time, in this place. And yes, we watch as our society ebbs and flows. The New Testament image of fishing is that of a great net, and I've already alluded to that. It's really a great net of the kingdom of God. And it really is a sign to the church, right? So one of the things when you analyze when they threw out their big net and they gathered all those fish, they caught 153 fish. Okay, gospel writers, why was that important? Why 153 fish? And you probably already know the answer. Those were of all the different breeds of fish that were in the lake. In other words, the gospel needs to go to all people. All people. You see, we need to really bring that net of grace, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. People need to hear that. They need to experience that. You can't trap people into believing it. You just need to help them embrace it. And finally, it is part of discipleship is not just for me, myself, and I, but it always includes the other. Always includes the other. All of our churches have evangelism committees. It's making Christ known. And I think the very best way of doing it is by you and I to go out and share our story of how we have experienced God in our lives. Right? One-on-one. Be absolutely authentic. Now, most of the time when I talk to Lutherans, wow, Pastor, I don't have a story. Yeah, you do. We all have stories. And when you sit down and you start putting it together, all of you have profound stories, right? You have a lot of life experiences of where you've experienced God. Or I think of serving people, right? It's not just for me. It's always about service to the other. It's service to our neighbor, service to the stranger. And that's why I really like the North American Lutheran Disaster Response. I really like that, the organization, because they're not tied to the government agencies, right? And the reason they're not is because when they go, they can talk about Christ and they can make Christ known. And it's that personal story. The other thing we're supposed to do is heal the sick, right? Now, I'm not a doctor. I can't do that kind of work. But you know what I can be? I can be a listening ear. I can present different things to help people, such as grief share, right? Somebody has lost somebody in their life, and they can take that experience and help somebody else. Or we're starting a new program called Divorce Care, right? 50% of marriages end in divorce. We have a mission field right there of helping people, being non-judgmental, helping people get their feet on the ground for Christ's sake, right? Jesus said, "Follow me." When he said it, it was active. It wasn't passive. It was active, not passive. And you notice that twice in our gospel text today, when he called them to follow them, it says there, immediately. Immediately. So, I'm going to challenge you. Go out there with all your used great equipment, your tackle, and your fishing stuff that you maybe inherited or you've collected over the years or you got a gift for Christmas, and there's a lot of it, and use those different lures, those different angles to catch people. Now, a number of years ago, there was three guys and they decided to go out fishing, ice fishing, right? So they dug three holes right next to each other and they started fishing, and the guy in the middle was just like pulling them out left and right. And every time he'd pull them out, he'd go, pick it up. Guy on his right, guy on his left, they're going like, what in the world? We're right next to you, and we're not catching a thing. What's going on here? You've all heard this before. Come on, tell us the secret. No, we're not joking. We really want to catch fish. You got to warm the worms. Whatever it takes. Follow me. When Jesus said that, he didn't say, hey, I'm going to gather you into the net. No. He said, follow me, and I'm going to allow you to drag the net. I'm going to allow you to cast the net, to mend the net, to care for the net. Come and follow me, and I will allow you to go into deeper water, and your faith will really grow. Because I will teach you. Come and follow me. And it will be a struggle, right? The winds and waves of our world today, it's a struggle. But the good news needs to get out there. And when we do, one of the things that God promises us is he's going to send us to places where we will experience the peace of God like no other possibility. Follow me, Jesus said. And I will teach you how to proclaim by word and example the good news of God's grace for all people, the good news of the kingdom of God, that he wants all his children to be his children in God's kingdom. Amen. I invite you now, we join our voices as we sing, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. I invite you to please rise and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the faithfulness of the church, the life of the world, and all those in need. Merciful God, we give you thanks and praise for the gifts of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, which finds its unity in your Son. As you nourish and sustain all living things, by your word and sacrament, nourish and sustain the whole body of Christ. Draw us near to your love and to your world in compassionate grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we know that you long for wholeness and the well-being of all your children, yet far too many of your children will be without shelter this night. Protect all who will spend this night on park benches, under freeway overpasses, in vacant lots, and abandoned buildings. May they find safety, sustenance, and warmth. Help us to provide whatever assistance we can. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Christ, our shepherd and guardian, protect all people from rulers who care nothing for their welfare and from all the threatening dangers of this world. Bring peace in places of violence, rich pastures in places of poverty, and true righteousness in places of injustice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, you have promised to be with us always, even to the close of the age. By your comforting presence, abide with those who feel unloved, who deal with crisis, and who struggle with illness, and those of loved ones we name aloud and silently in our hearts.
Mary Jo and Don.
Surround them with people who will show compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, gracious God, especially during this Epiphany season, where wise men still seek you, gracious God. And let us join their unending hymn and continue to sing. In which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Amen.
Let us join our voices as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Holy Communion is the Lord's Supper for the Lord's people. All are welcome to receive the Lord's body and blood, who are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and believe that Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is truly present in, with, and under the forms of bread and wine for the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation.
Thank you. I invite you to please rise.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you provide the true bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that we who have received the sacrament of his body and blood may abide in him and he in us, that we may be filled with the power of his endless life, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.